The Blurred Truth Insider Update.
Oliver Williams, the man who keeps John Titor alive, certainly online. Check out his work at johntitor.com. That's johntitor.com. Oliver, let's have a look at the predictions that John Titor stated and how they're actually relating to what's going on in the world right now.
One thing that struck me, I am watching the news, and who do I see come on the news but Michio Kaku? And the news was, hey, guess what? Some scientists did some calculations, and this black hole thing might be a slight danger after all. They've been dismissing it for so long that, oh, even if we accidentally created one, it would evaporate. Apparently now there is some legitimate concern that it could be a problem. So I found that kind of fascinating at the beginning of the year. The other thing that happened was, as I was doing my scan for the news, and you can go to our site and take a look at this, I saw an April Fool's joke played by CERN where they released a press release saying that they had manufactured and captured a black hole.
Black humor from scientists? Could be funny.
Well, the interesting thing was, if you read it a little bit further down, they go on to say that the black hole is going to be useful for manufacturing a time machine for time travelers, which tells me they must be aware of what John has said about CERN. They have to know if they're going to write that into an April Fool's joke and put it out. The other interesting thing that's going on is that when John was here 10 years ago, he made some specific statements about what was happening in the Mideast. And he made a couple of statements that a lot of people are sending me email on. We get flooded with it now, especially with what's going on in Iran. He said that, you know, he was asked, you know, would there be a conflict? What was going to happen over there? And he said, Israel is not ready for an offensive war. They are preparing for the ultimate defense. And he said that the problem was going to be that the West, and the United States in particular, was going to start wavering in their support for Israel, which is what was going to give their enemies the confidence to attack. And a lot of people are looking at that statement and looking at the way that our government is responding to Israel now, and they think that's coming true. So a lot of people are very concerned that, you know, things over there are very much on a hair trigger, and anything could happen any day now.
You get the feeling, though, looking at John Titor's predictions on that website, and outside the Olympics, certainly want to talk about that later, Oliver, but his predictions certainly have a ring of truth about them. You look at what's going on in the news, and it's almost like it's happening as he predicted 10-plus years ago. I mean, we call them predictions because we have no basis for giving them solidarity or proof yet, but match up the news events with his predictions on the website, and it's pretty darn close. I mean, it's almost prophetic.
No, I would agree with you. And, you know, yes, I definitely want to talk about the Olympics. And, you know, John got a lot of things. Well, I wouldn't say he got them wrong, but they definitely did not happen when he said they were going to happen. And I think if I was in a position where I had to defend that, I would say John was telling us the history of his timeline. So he is in another universe that's a little bit different, trying to tell us what was going to happen. And because of the nature of time travel, he was going to be wrong on some things. In fact, he went on to state that Y2K happened for him in his universe before he came here. And that, of course, is a huge thing that did not happen for us.
Oliver, I've got something freaky to play for you. Now, a lot of people wouldn't have heard this before. It's an interview with an attorney called Larry Haber. Now, Larry specializes in, well, entertainment law in the States. He also represents John Titor's family living in the States right now in this present time. They've engaged him to do certain media bits and pieces and to handle anything that comes up with the John Titor case. A very eye-opening and fascinating interview. Now, it's done in a weird way because the interview is actually done with John Titor's supposed mother through Larry Haber. So Larry asks the questions to the mother on a phone in his office, and we get the answer that way. I've sort of cut it up a bit so we don't get the lag in the question and answers, but take a listen to this. So, Larry Haber, you deal in law. You're an attorney. How did you get in contact with the John Titor case, the story, and the family?
I was contacted by a friend of mine from law school a few years ago and said that he was looking for somebody that did some entertainment law work, which I do, and then explained to me the story that is probably pretty well known to the people that are listening right now. And I said, well, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, and I don't believe it. He said, no, I'll give it a try. I really need some help with this thing. So I went ahead and took the couple of calls and have been involved with it for the last 3 years now.
How do you rate this thing, Larry? Is it strange? Is it weird? It's a good story.
Baffled, perplexed, and everything in between, sure. I have no idea if any of this is real or not, or true or not. I know that they believe it's real. The few times I've had direct contact with the family, and the many times I've had it through my friend, have led me to believe that these guys really think that everything they keep talking about is absolutely real. But I'm too far removed from it to really get a good handle on it.
Have you met anyone in the family face to face?
No. Except for my friend who I haven't seen him in years. So I know the person that has made the contact with me, but not anybody from the family. Just a couple of phone conversations with John's mom, Kay, and that's all I've had.
Now, you've got Kay there, John's mom, on the phone. She won't have a voice come over the airwaves, but she's quite prepared to answer questions through you over the telephone. So can you ask her, Larry, did she ever see John Teter?
Okay, let me ask.
Has Kay seen John Teter from the future?
She's telling me that when he left in March of 2001, she hasn't seen the older version of him since then.
Is there a smaller version of John Teter? And if there is, how old is he right now?
There is, and he's about to turn 8 years old.
Has the 8-year-old John Teter met the adult version of John Teter?
I'm glad I'm asking her that. I couldn't answer any of these things. They were together for the 3 years when John was here. The future John was here in the past, I should say. It gets a little confusing.
Did the future John Teter talk to her about family, how long they'd go on for, or personal information like that?
Kay was pretty insistent that she said that at the time she said, absolutely not, I don't want to know any details of the future, because she was just spooked her. So as far as I can tell from her right now, they have no idea about anything that took place in the future.
Larry, how did Kay come to meet the future John Teter? I mean, what were the circumstances?
In April of 98, he visited them in Florida and stayed for a couple of months, then came back in June and spent the next 3 years with them, but knew how to find him because obviously he knew where he was living back then.
So how did Kay know that this man approaching her was her son, John Teter?
Good one, because, again, that's the biggest one. Hold on. Good question. She says, to first meeting, she knew it was him, but it took her about a day to really accept it or figure it out that it was real, or that it really could be real. I don't think she still was convinced that quickly, but, you know, she's telling me, I'm trying to repeat the words, how could a mother not know her son?
Yeah, even if he was just a tad older. What was she proud of him?
Basically terrified.
Terrified? Why?
Terrified. I think it's for the same reason, not wanting to be on the phone now or get more involved than it this way. Just when you get hit with something like that, she said, basically, I'm not that sophisticated a person, and to get hit with something like that, it was, you know, why would my son come back? What's wrong in the future? What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to everybody? And so on. So it took her a while to get over the fear, you know, very afraid, very fearful, almost terrified, I think, from given the way her voice sounds.
Is she pretty much convinced John has gone back to his own era, or has he moved through other time periods in history?
She doesn't personally believe he went anywhere else. He really didn't enjoy what he went to do the first time around, and she thinks that he probably would have stayed and not accepted going taking another assignment.
There is a book called John Teter, the Time Traveler, that's in paperback. I'm assuming it was written by the mother. Larry, do you have anything to do with that?
Just in terms of getting the publishing, I mean, I can tell you that all I was responsible for was to make sure that the copyrights were filed correctly. And the thing's really incidental to it, but had no other involvement with the book itself.
Is there anything else on the horizon that you know of in regards to this John Teter story?
Well, I am aware of a movie. Kay had hired me, or actually continued to hire me, but asked me to about a year ago to take a look at making some type of video or film about the story so that it would be more widely known than just what's out there now. And so because I do entertainment work, I'm in Orlando and do work with a lot of video companies. One of those companies is working on a film. I have no idea what stage they're at. They told me that they've spent some time with some phone interviews and they were going to put something together for release this year, but I haven't seen anything or really don't know much more about it.
I'm assuming the family still want to remain anonymous, so they've moved from the Florida part of the United States to what they call the Midwest?
Nebraska, from what I understand, but that's just what they're telling me. I couldn't tell you if that's really where they're calling from. When they call me, it's no caller ID.
Okay, so Kay remains relatively confidential then.
Correct, and wants to remain that way. That's the problem. I've probably only talked to her 3-4 times out of the whole couple of year period, and most of it is just through either emails or through a friend of mine that relays messages.
And look, Larry, there's two possibilities with this story. Either time travel is real and John Teter is the living or documented proof, or it's a very well thought out hoax that's, you know, even stumping the experts.
Yeah, and it's funny for me because I'm so incidental to it. I've got a full law practice and I do a whole bunch of other things and I don't even have much time to spend on the internet to even look at it. And then when it pops up, I get all wrapped up in it again for a day or two and then it goes away for a while and then it comes back again. Very, very interesting for me too.
You're probably the only attorney ever to represent a family or a time traveler from the future, Larry.
And I am very interested in the sciences and the possibility of that. So I keep going along and hopefully I'll find out too someday.
You're not getting paid in $2,036 by any chance?
No. At least that part of it's current. I'm not doing a whole lot of work. That's why I don't really get that involved with it on a day-to-day basis. It's usually just some quick questions or how do we clear this or do you know somebody that can produce this kind of thing. So I really do very minimal work. My involvement with stuff like this and interview and even I got interviewed for a documentary that was out that was produced last year, that takes up a lot more of the time than anything I've ever billed for, but it's been fun.
In your entire law practicing career, has this got to be one of the strangest cases ever?
This is the best. That's why I enjoy doing it. It's absolutely fun.
Oliver Williams, amazing stuff, isn't it?
It is. You know, and listening to it now, there are some things that he mentioned that I had forgotten about that come back to me. I'm going, why the heck would you put yourself out there like that? You know, why? Even that interview was a little bit odd. Like, why do that? And then it suddenly occurred to me, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the book apparently has been out of print for a little while.
Oh, really? I haven't had the pleasure.
Well, if you go to Amazon, I think you're going to have a hard time finding it, but you can find used versions of it for up to $1,000.
You're kidding. What the hell's in it?
I've seen them on eBay in the used section running that high. Why would you... You know, I don't know if anybody got rich off the book, but why would you have it go for a while, stop it, and then let it sit there, and now people are buying it for a grand a piece?
Now, Oliver, give us some insight into the fan news about Larry Haber's brother. Have you heard about that?
All right, here's what I've been able to track down myself. There were some folks out there that believed that this whole thing was cooked up by Larry and his family. Larry apparently has a son who I think he's either in college or about to get out of college. And I guess he has a brother who I guess lives out in California who people think was in the computer, has a computer background. So the theory was that the Habers were responsible for this whole thing. And about, I'd say, beginning of the year, somebody had tracked down a P.O. box that apparently they thought was registered to John Teter, but was under Larry's brother's name. Now, to follow up with that, there was a film company in Florida that decided to hop in their car with their cameras and go down and track this thing down. And they are now producing, I don't know what you call it, like an online reality show, sort of. It's like these guys with their cameras, they're following up all these Teter clues. And if you go to their site, I think they just posted another one. But now I guess they've got their sights on Haber, and they're going to try to find him and get to the bottom of this.
Larry seems legit to me. Did you pick that up in our chat?
Yeah, you know, you look this guy up, and he's a real lawyer. And he does lawyer things. It doesn't look like anybody's getting rich off of this. So if you're going to cook all this up and have people like me out there, and you're talking about it, you know, what's the point of all this? Why do it?
Why indeed, Oliver. In fact, if you type in John Teter in a search engine, you'll find links to so many forums about his predictions, his time travel machine. There's even schematics if you want to see what it looks like. And it looks quite surreal to imagine that thing travelling through time and space. Stand by, more Oliver to come as we talk up johnteter.com.